Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Super Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and oh my god, Aaron Lewis is such a fucking crybaby. Make it stop. And with me, I have...
We need more AI shills being booed by college graduates. It's really fun.
And...
Well, what is this box? Oh, look, it's Discourse. Look at this box. Oh, look, Discourse. Oh, look, it's Discourse here, Discourse there, Discourse over there, Discourse in the toilet, Discourse in the fridge.
Oh, that's actually in the fridge. That's not Discourse. That's the latest product from Surreal Resolution Industries. It's called Discourse Away. It's just a giant stick I use to whack at people that are making Discourse.
We ask, which one? Yeah, exactly.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Oh, you know, as long as there's, like, no discourse surrounding the band, yes. God, could you imagine? That joke would be ruined. But also, having the stick on hand is very important, because, look, much as we'd love to get sidetracked and derailed by discourses, we got quite a bit on our plate this week.
Yeah, for once.
Uh-huh.
Been a while.
Yeah, like we got a fully decked platter of stuff to the point where, like, do we even have time for formalities?
Shit sucks and I'm sick. There's my formality.
Mark, you got anything to say?
How about that Gamerverse?
Oh yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yes. Very interesting. Very interesting to say. It's like, so if is like making if you help the villain, you know, each time will go by, but if you help if the hero wins, it's bye bye. Which, well, that's something to think about. It's like,
that is how game overs do work. Oh my god, that's why they call it that. But yeah, I'm just happy that after 13 years, our boy goddamn it Ross finally did it, man. But yeah, that's a pretty fun thing.
Oh, yeah, all I can say is good luck and keep your sanity.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh boy, howdy. Speaking of discourses. But anyway, as for anything going on my end, well, I mean, things are sort of going okay. By sort of okay, I mean, life in general is fine. But my laptop would not stay on the other day. Power button and screen kept flickering like it was going in and out of sleep mode. Then it just wouldn't turn on. Now it's in a shop getting looked at. That is expenses I did not necessarily want on Memorial Day.
Ew. That's all the shit. That's, yeah, I think you all been there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what happens with it. Like, that's mainly my gaming laptop, so, like, worst case scenario, I don't know, if they do fix it and they have to wipe anything, I could just re-download a Steam library. It's not that complicated. Now, if it's completely fucked, it's gonna really suck, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. As for the actual episode itself, now we gotta dive into that. Here we are, episode 433. Welcome to the first proper feeling episode of this podcast in a while, where we're not struggling for stuff.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of shit to get, a whole bunch of in both songs and news.
Uh-huh.
Boy, howdy. So, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up new tunes for your playlist, all that fun jazz. So, let's start right here at the top of this first song. So, 2 years ago, the electronic post-punk band Fat Dog dropped their debut album fittingly titled Woof. Well, then a summation point. It had a few bangers on it, but honestly, the album kind of felt more like a proof of concept than a proper album, as it were. But I guess, you know, 2 years is long enough that they would start to put out some new material. Lo and behold, we have a new single here called Go Fuck Yourself. You will get exactly one guess as to what the song is about. So, instrumentally, there's not a lot of punk here in the actual beat itself. It's more like a straight Eurodance kind of thing. Four on the floor drums, straightforward bass groove riding that rhythm. There's this kind of like weird mix of like synths and sax forming this melody in the background. Or maybe it's just full on sax and the production is just kind of weird. Anyway, but yeah, that kind of instrumental combined with this lyrical tone that's like trying to be confrontational, but like, I don't know, this whole thing feels a bit too tuneful and sing-songy to really nail whatever idea I think it's trying to go for. Not my favorite thing I've heard.
Well, I'll say this. Not since Charlie Kelly told everyone this exact same sentiment in that one Always Sunny episode of I Heard, such a wonderful piece of eloquent wordsmithery of proclaiming one's dissatisfaction over someone. So yeah, I enjoyed it for what it's worth. Also, thanks, Kojima.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Looks like we got a new single here, courtesy of The Avalanches. Mark, I believe you dropped this one in the chat, right? You want to have a go with this?
Yes. Yeah, so in case of a refresher, The Avalanches made up of producer and DJs, RB Chatter and Tony DeBosley, yeah, which... With these dudes, I have mentioned a couple of times when it comes to, in passing, like the last project was You Always Love You in 2020. Well, it was late 2020 because it was in December, which I had to stay down. And I'll just get out of the way now. They've been in this for 20 years, but they had three albums. They've been in the game for 20 years. The one I known from was their 2016 album Wildflower, which I really liked that. I wish if I done this better, I would have added that on there. But anyway, we got a new single. We can get a new single out. I don't know if the album comes soon or not. It is titled Together, and features Nicki Nair, Jesse Lanza, and Pretense. The song is very okay. I want to say at first, I was thinking, to sound like a bunch of, like, usually they're known for being Plumbophonics. Or, you know, basically trying to do some out of one sample. But, the thing is, this had these very, like, electronic melodies playing over like a stuttering beat, which, in the visual, you can have a floppy disk hanging with an iPod, I want to say, one of the early iPods. Like, I want to say it's an iPod Nano, but then again,
nope. It is an iPod 4th Gen, which
okay,
I'm holding in my hands right now. It's also dead, so I gotta fix it.
Okay. What he said, he's more expert than me, or knows more about the shit than me. But yeah,
and that's what he's here for.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll say this. This is, it's fine, it does have this very, like, dreamy type of shit, which is like, it does a very, like, playful, wonky, sort of, like, well, something that I've never seen Avalanches do a lot, usually, at least when I heard from the couple albums, is either, I want to say, 70s flavor, but this is kind of different. I don't know if they'll do anything different with whatever album they're coming out, but I kind of hope to hear out for them to consider. I've been fucking them for some time now. Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Cool.
And remind you on Wildflower. On Wildflower, there's a track with Danny Brown and MF Doom rapping. I'm just saying.
Yes, he is saying. He is saying you should go and listen to that song.
Yeah, it's called Frankie Sinatra. That's the title track. I mean, what's the song?
Nice. Now moving on to the next track here. Looks like we got another single here, courtesy of Channel Tres. And From this song, you could tell that Channel Tress is a person of culture, because it's named after one of the greatest catchphrases in the history of television. And, sing along if you know the words. Pop, pop, pop!
Yes! Yeah, that was, yeah, that was a single called Pop, Pop. Yeah, I've seen a YouTube video, people maybe people say, Matt would be proud.
Hell yeah!
And, yeah, and it's like... And this song is pretty fucking good. Like it does have that very very funky house feel with a bit of strut in the bass. And I'm like, okay, this is fucking good. I'm kind of liking this. And again on the visual, somebody also said that. Why is it like Sephiroth, but with a durag, which, but yeah, this sounds danceable. This would be some good shit. And it will. I'm stuttering right now. I'm looking at my cat wandering. I hope you don't. And you're doing the fuck shit, but. No, she's walking away. She's walking. Just yeah. Okay, right. I'm talking about a cat. Okay, damn.
People will always want to hear about cats. Okay, that's where the real views and the real content lies. If only we could make this like a video podcast, we could show cats. But also, yeah. This kind of slaps. What makes the song for me is that just that really fat synth bass line going on. That is so good. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Wait, did someone hear something?
What's this?
It's the alarms!
Oh. Yep. It's the time again. Oh, looky here. It's both Nicholas Craven and Boldy James.
Oh, thank God. We haven't heard from him in... Seconds!
I know, right? Yeah. That's practically a college education of Boldy James time. You gotta catch up, King Gizzard!
Maybe less with Nicholas Craven, considering he's been on a roll. But anyway, we have a single out, because you're both of them, man. Would it be an album out from both of them? I don't know. I mean, they released two. I mean, might be three more. Anyway, the track is called Summer's Eve. Summer's Eve. Okay. I don't know why, but it's like, here is basically what you get a soul sample that's, you know, been looped and chopped and looped. And because he's been shit about his alien hood talking about all people he lost chasing cheap thrills and getting into some shit, basically, he going to some shit. Going to some shit, like, I ain't thinking about no pussy, I got murder on my mind for real, the cowards kill my brother, that's a real thug. If I'm a nigga dead now, I'm my head more fucked up than it was. This sounds like somebody going to some shit, which kind of goes up with this. Over this production. Okay. Also got lyrics like, I see more Iggy's in Azalea, 227-50Z, The Legend of Zelda, plugged in like Louise, like I'm Thelma, all hell of Jacksonville, that will praise money, make niggas need to exit, just stage one meet. Okay, yeah. It's a good Boldy track. I don't know if it means an album coming soon, considering again the motherfucker like to drop shit every other month or so. But yeah,
cool. Moving on to the next track here. So Caitlin Aurelia Smith, the producer, has been dropping plentiful amounts of music in the past year or so. 2025 had at least two full albums with her name attached, and I think another that was just like maybe a remix thing. I'd have to double check, but there was at least three things. Now she's got another one lined up for this October. Again, kind of getting way out ahead of the curve, like a good 5 months in advance. And this is, well, the album's called, let me see here, Ruin, It's Not Just Music, due out October 2nd. And this is actually the first coming out on a label that she's now co-founded called Something Special. So, we have the lead-off single here, fittingly titled Ruin. And it starts off with a nice mix of lush strings and kind of jungle drum and bass rhythms, with a lot of these vocal samples that sound like they're really distant in the mix. And as the song goes on, it builds kind of on that framework with sort of these pulsating bleeps with kind of a muted sound in the background, this droning bass synth. Then it kind of starts layering on more and more like synths, vocal samples, and kind of multi-layered sound collage type stuff, sounding very, very, you know, kind of interstellar and spacey, in a way that kind of sounds like a somewhat more tuneful version of an artist like Igloo Ghost. Most prominently, whenever you hear, like, the actual breaks in the rhythm, like, the way it kind of dips in and out of when the drum and bass rhythm stops and then starts back up again, you kind of hear similar, like, Igloo Ghost-isms in those little pockets. Perhaps just my opinion, but this certainly is a very interesting type of track, and I'm curious to see what being on her own label does for her sound. I'm into this.
Yeah, I'll say, I don't, like, this one's time I hear her doing drum and bass, or at least the music could be drum and bass. It's like, this is kind of, you know, very different from her, because usually it'd be either ambient or drone, but okay, this is something that'd be different from her that I could look into. Yeah, I'm with this.
Call it D&B, call it breakcore, call it whatever the hell you want, it's real good. Yes, more of this, please. This is very good.
Yes. Now, moving on to the next track here. Looks like we have a new one-off here, courtesy of the progressive metal band Haken. And perhaps kind of one they needed to record, given that the band's gone through some lineup shifts recently. Most notably with the departure of guitarist Charlie Griffiths, who was with the group since 2008, and bassist Connor Green, who was with the band since 2014. Kinda sucks, but at least according to the messages, it seems like it was an amicable split. So, not too much to worry about there. So, we have their first piece of new material since then, a track called In a Fever Dream. Very noticeably in terms of the rest of the lineup and the production here. The bass work on this track comes from Brian Beller, most known for playing with the likes of Joe Satriani and Death Clock. And the production actually is handled by a man named George Lever, who is known for working with bands like Not Just Loathe, but also did the early Sleep Token albums, you know, everything pre-Take Me Back to Eden. So, getting into the track itself, it opens up with this clean, very simple guitar melody, kind of a 3-4 thing from what it sounds like, and this kind of bouncing rhythmic synth, along with some more serene, high-pitched synth melodies as things gradually begin to build. Of course, once the full band finally kicks in, you could hear the rhythm, like the pulse of the song, kind of shift into something like, well, I guess depending on how you count it, either 6-8 or kind of like a triplet 4-4 thing going on. But it all, you know, drives a really nice, solid enough groove. Structurally, the songwriting definitely kind of feels like your typical Haken material, where the structure goes back and forth between a lot of solid grooves and these very synthetically driven bridges. But then by about the 4-minute mark, you get the heaviest part of the song, this very thunderous, meaty, pounding drum groove with a lot of like really deep, you know, low-end guitar syncopations, which is probably where you can most hear, like, that kind of Loathe, early Sleep Token kind of sound and production. Overall, it's a pretty nice slice of Haken prog. Makes some really solid use of, you know, the synthesizer melodies all throughout. I'm curious to hear what a full album would sound like, given this lineup changes and even this production style.
So, they've turned the heavy levels up a bit on this one. Okay, I'm in. Let's see where this goes.
Soon enough, hopefully. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. We got another new single from Charlie XCX. The Charlie train ain't exactly stopping, is it? There's things afoot, I'm sensing. But, yeah, we have this new song here called SS26. short for Spring Summer of 26. And the main takeaway I'm getting is that if rock music was kind of a tongue-in-cheek poking the bear a little bit, this one seems more like, I guess what I imagine people were expecting from kind of like a description of, oh, let's do a rock thing. Like, there's not like a winking joke in terms of, oh, what the style is. Like, this is more of an earnest tilt in kind of the direction of, like, kind of pop rock sort of thing that she's kind of been teasing here and there. I'm not 100% sure I get the lyrics, though. I guess it's about, like, I don't know, styling and profiling in the face of self-destruction or something like that. Don't look at me like I'm an expert in the mindset of Charlie XCX. I'm just someone who spins the occasional banger tune. And, I mean, this is solid enough. I like it better than rock music, but again, I think it's the fact that I'm not sure fully of the ends here.
Yeah, so if the last track we got was Caked in Irony, this definitely sways more towards casual nihilism in a lot of ways. But also with a layer of irony on top of it. Basically saying, shit may be fucked, but we can look good all throughout it. Like walking down a runway to go right to hell.
Oh, so it's like that one JoJo's meme I sometimes see. Like, I might be depressed, but these shades are Gucci.
Sure, you could look at it that way.
I need to distract myself from the horrors sometimes. Sadly, I can't afford high-end fashion. But I can't afford Pokemon games, and that's about the same thing. Let's move on to the next track. So, speaking of pop queens and such, we have the new Olivia Rodrigo album, You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So in Love, still coming out June 12th, so about a couple weeks out. And we have the latest single from the album, which is called The Cure. And I'm just going to go ahead and assume that if we get any more lyric videos from this, they're all going to be in this paper cutout style. Seems to be a motif here. But as for the song itself, what we get here is mainly structured around this, like, sort of downbeat acoustic ballad for at least the first 3.5 minutes, with string accompaniments as well working their magic in the background. Eventually, towards the last minute or so, it does sort of build to, like, a full band accompaniment for that, with kind of, you know, drums helping drive that last stretch of the song. Lyrically, as you can imagine, the whole notion of cure and healing and antidotes are kind of important to the point. Specifically, it's about trying to deal with anxiety and other negative feelings of doubt in a relationship, specifically with the idea of the cure being used to represent the idea that while there might be this sensation of healing when you're, like, in a relationship or something, sometimes, you know, the cosmic dice roll of mental health gives you, like, some significant, like, deeper stuff to work through that, unfortunately, even the most wondrous of romance can't fully help with, and how much that sucks. Because, like, she even says, kind of in the song, that, like, yeah, obviously she likes the feeling of being in love, but unfortunately there's this other thing there that is just too much for that to even help with. And I think I kind of mentioned that while I did like the previous single, I felt like the lyrics were trying maybe a little bit too hard to the point where they kind of got in the way. But this one, the lyrical themes and imagery have a lot more earnest clarity to them, which I think makes it not just a better single, but probably one of her best songs overall. I really like this a lot.
Okay, so this may only make sense to me and me alone, but why does this sound and feel like a Smashing Pumpkins song? Specifically, Tonight. Like, all that's missing is the bells, and it would be that song.
I did hear that too.
Yeah, I guess that means I like it. It's certainly better than the first single we got from this new album. Here's hoping the momentum keeps going upward.
We're about a couple weeks away, so who knows what'll happen then. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh my god, I get to bitch!
Oh, speaking of discourse,
it's one of my favorite things to do! So, you might be familiar with the fact that I am not particularly fond of this up-and-coming band that's been making waves called President. I dissed aggressively their debut EP that came out last year. I've made fun of them every chance I get. I love to hate them. It's one of my favorite pastimes. But that hate will soon continue as they've scheduled their debut studio album, Blood of Your Empire, for September 4th. Alongside that, they've announced a, you know, U.S. tour, which is apparently already fucking sold out. See, this is the only type of discourse that I really have time for. I don't care about your other discourse. I don't care about fucking if Dr. Skinner from Lazarus was in the Epstein files or whatever. What the fuck do you mean president sold out a fucking U.S. tour? Are you high, people? Is there a gas leak I'm not fucking aware of at the moment? Jesus Christ!
Maybe it's all the TikTok kids.
I think they're too busy roasting food influencers that don't know how to behave themselves in public. But getting on track to the song itself, the single we have here, which is called Doom Loop, we start pretty much as you would expect with this kind of pulsating, like, dark synth beat going on. And, of course, immediately gives you the most annoying defining aspect of the president's sound, which is really shitty fucking vocals. Both in the background chipmunk voice sample and whatever sort of bad autotune is going on with definitely not Charlie Simpson here. Then we get the chorus, which, as you can imagine, is the most rudimentary, basic, fucking, like, chugga metalcore stuff with some mildly okay drumming that only really develops a personality towards, like, the bridge at the end. Although, let me make something clear. Vice, you are not two, and you will only ever be a pale imitation of two from Sleep Token, okay? No amount of begging to get into the Drumeo studio will make up for that. And also, probably lyrically, some shit about, I don't know, depression, existential terror, the passage of time or whatever. Fuck me, this shit's lame. Oh my god, how many years are we gonna have to deal with this crap for? Seriously, like, this is... Ugh! Words are failing me right now.
Ugh. So, my hot take that I've come to with this group is, I just do not care anymore to feel any emotion. At this point, it's what they want, but I will ask, if there wasn't a gimmick attached to this band, would the songs be considered better or worse? For me, it's about even, since, again, I just don't care anymore. It is what it is. Moving on.
Moving on, for the next track here, oh wow, this is a name I haven't heard in a long time. Did y'all know Anthrax is still around?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
It's been a hot-ass minute.
I would say the only time I know about Anthrax, the band, they did the music for that one Ice Cube, John Carpenter movie, Ghost of Mars. They wondering why the fuck you saw that movie. I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was on Cinemax.
We all have those times. Like, don't ask us why we watched insert movie here. Don't ask me why I watched Bubble Boy. Look, it was fucking, I was home. It was 10 a.m. Comedy Central was on. What do you want from me? But getting back on topic, so it's been a while since whenever Anthrax's last album was, so much so that I don't even remember when it was.
What
was
2016.
Oh my god, that was... Fuck me. Oh right, that was Worship Music, I think. I actually think I saw them live that year. But...
No, it was not Worship Music, it was For All Kings.
Yeah, see, I don't... You get my point here. Time is confusing, but the important thing is, Anthrax have a new album scheduled for September 18th called Cursum Perfico, and we have the lead-off single here, It's For the Kids, which, funnily enough, comes courtesy of a music video that was filmed in an asylum as a grand homage to Madhouse. you know, that 80s classic. The song, not the anime studio. The God, can you imagine Studio Madhouse making an Anthrax video? Anyway, as for the song itself, I mean, if you've been following Anthrax's career up to this point and kind of have a sense of what their more modern stuff is like, this probably won't surprise you too much. It's definitely typical, you know, energetic thrash and bash, plenty of DB drums and Belladonna's vocals, you know, very soaring and high-pitched. It's kind of hard for me to get into this particular track, though. Like, okay, granted, I don't have tons and tons of loyalty towards, like, the big four, as it were, but, like, even taking this song for what it is, there's something kind of off here that is kind of a barrier, personally. If I had to narrow it down, there's something about the tone of the syncopations. Like, you definitely hear it in the verse riffs, but also kind of, like, in the solos and bridges. Like, there's just something about how they're choking out, like, the chords and such in the riffs that just sounds really awkward to me. That it just kind of, like, kills the overall momentum that they're trying to build in those sections. But I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing here. Like, either way, I wouldn't exactly call it, like, the most important Anthrax listen, if you know what I mean.
I think I get it. Charlie Benante does feel like he's drumming a little bit behind the beats. That's why it feels a little weirdly syncopated. I'll just say, do you like the prototypical 80s thrash sound of metal? Then you'll probably like this track. And if you don't, well, you get where this is going. For me, it's fine for what it is. But that's about all I can say. It is fine. It's a little hard for me to get into new material from 80s thrash metal bands. Like, I know Metal Church put out an album last month. I didn't listen to it. I don't have the time to do a deep dive on all those guys.
Oh yeah, Metal Church. I think I've only ever heard one or two albums by them. But anyway, there's your Anthrax talk for the week. And so now we move on to the next track here. As we all know, we're about a couple weeks out from Vince Staples finally dropping his newest album on June 5th, titled Crybaby. Previously, we had the single Blackberry Marmalade, which was a very charged song about begging for your life in the face of a mass shooting and all. And now we have single number two here called White Flag. You know, I think I'm starting to sense there's a statement being made with this album.
Yeah, the song is saying how draining that, you know, life in America as a black man can be, or at least as a black person can be. Because there's another term of war, you know, all before, not fall from the course, and so like hard to mourn from in the casket, nigga stars is born, I've been galactic. When the pigs see a young black man in traffic, why treat me like I'm a UFO, cut me in the backseat so I can't phone home. Free, Goliath, white flag, I don't want to fight no more. And it knows in the video, you see the American flag, he's painting it white, you see the stars fading away, they're like, well, you're painting white. Wearing the white flag, as in, you know what, fuck it, I give up. And then, at the end of the video, in come bullet holes. It goes, shoot the white flag, meaning, well, you wave it, but still fuck you. This boss charges, this about charges, that's the last one. Minus people getting shot. I mean, the flag gets shot.
Yep, like we said, there's a theme here.
Yeah, as Mr. Filmbrain said many years ago, symbolism.
Oh, this is gonna be something special. I can feel it. But moving on to the last track we got here, looks like the man, the myth, the legend, John Carpenter is moving slightly away from the realm of ambient compositional synth arrangements to doing some metal stuff, apparently. So, he's announced that on August 7th, he will be dropping a metal album called Cathedral, which is apparently also being released around the same time as some kind of graphic novel accompaniment of the same name on August 4th, I believe. So, to accompany the announcement, we have a single here called Lord of the Underground, which happens to feature his regular collaborators Cody Carpenter and Dave Davies, who, you know, appear on the various, you know, solo albums he's been doing. As for the track itself, well, as a man who, well, made the bulk of his career in, like, the 70s and 80s, this sounds like a very 70s kind of metal track. The guitar work has this very, like, bluesy, fuzzed-out production, I guess kind of like Sabbath or maybe even early Judas Priest. There's this very straightforward four-on-the-floor drum rhythm. Of course, since we're talking about a man who mainly composes with pianos and synths, a lot of the external melodies and such come from, you know, layers of ominous gothic synths and kind of creepy keyboard arrangements that, I'm not gonna lie, it sort of sounded like the Goosebumps theme. Maybe that's just the 90s kid part of my brain talking over everything, but yeah, it definitely sounds like a very, like, that kind of ambiance, so to speak, you know, 70s metal, very gothic, that kind of thing. I mean, it's not bad. Again, it's really gonna depend, like, how loyal you are to Carpenter, how much mileage you get out of this, so keep that in mind if you go to listen.
So, do you like the prototypical 70s metal sound, but with a bit of cinematic spookiness to it? Then you'll probably like this track. And if you don't, you get where I'm going with this. I just repeated the same notes I did for Anthrax. I'm sick. Cut me some slack.
Fair enough. Yeah, being sick sucks. Anyway, so that about does it for the new song discussions. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We got some news to go through, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have four news topics to discuss here, so let's get right back into it. First up on the docket is a very, very important topic sometimes, and that is deluxe reissues of albums from like 10 to 15 years ago. Alex, you want to take the charge on this one?
Sure. I'll try my best because my voice is terrible, but short version, My Chemical Romance. They have announced a deluxe edition reissue of Danger Days, The True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys, their final album, and I'm a bit conflicted about this, because I was not the biggest fan of this album when it came out, and I still am not to this day, but hey, that's cool. It's going to have a big old fancy deluxe edition. It's going to be vinyl versions, a double CD version, a cassette release. It's going to be a bunch of bonus tracks on here, including some live cuts from BBC Radio and the iTunes Festival in 2011, which, if you remember that, you're as old as I am. cool, I guess, for people who are into this album. I would like the deluxe version of the Black Parade, personally, but, you know, whatever.
Wait, have they not done one for that yet?
No, they have not.
Wow.
See, that's the biggest album, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's like 20 years at this point.
Yeah. Like, they did a whole fancy remix and remaster of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. That turned out really well. Maybe they're planning something else for Black Parade? I don't know. But, hey, this is cool. It's going to come out on July 10th, and maybe I'll give it another listen. Maybe I'll change my mind about it. I don't know. I'm still very conflicted on this album. And again, it was probably because I was a very dumb 17-year-old when this came out, so, yeah, who knows.
to this day, I still have not listened to this album, and I will freely admit I'm being unfair, maybe, but in my defense, when the first impression of your album is na 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 good lord.
Okay.
And it's not just the song itself. It's become one of those things like, okay, you know how it's kind of impossible to listen to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On because it's been reduced to a punchline by literally every comedy movie of the past 30 years?
Yeah.
Na 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 has kind of become that same song, sort of. Like, it's something you play for, like, cheap musical filler in the trailer to a bad PG-13 comedy that no one's gonna watch. Or a bad R-rated comedy that's no one's ever gonna watch. Movie 43.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can blame that one, mainly. I cannot think about Na 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 without thinking about, I got frozen peas in a sponge!
Ugh.
Again, probably me being unfair. Maybe the album was fine. We'll see what happens when the deluxe issue drops. Anyway, let's move on to the next news topic here, which is far more positive and difficult to be angry or mad at. So, we all know the national hero that is Weird Al Yankovic. How could you not love him? Everybody loves him. The adults, the elderly, the kids, everyone. Turns out there is a Broadway jukebox musical about Weird Al that is being planned for, well, sometime later on in the year. Well, maybe not this year, but eventually. Musicals take work, people. It's the point. So, Deadline is reporting that this musical is titled, of course, Dare to be Stupid. And it's mainly composed of various songs from all across his oeuvre. You know, specifically naming the likes of White and Nerdy, Amish Paradise, Eat It, Like a Surgeon, Smells Like Nirvana. And Yankovic himself provided in a statement to Deadline that, ever since I was a middle-aged man, I've always wanted to be part of the New York theater community. Plus, the one thing people always say about Broadway is that it's severely lacking in Weird Al-based entertainment. And I think this musical should fix that problem immediately. He's correct. People do be saying that.
Yeah. That is true. In fact, I can recall a very profound statement he made when he got LASIK surgery and a TV station in LA interviewed him. I remember the first thing he said when he was asked about it was a very simple and emphatic, "I'm on drugs." Yes. You have to respect a man of that level of honest integrity.
Yes. This man who graced us from the statements to the screen, the music screen, animated, and now stage
indeed. As for the crew itself, all we really know at the moment is that this musical is being directed by a man named Alex Timbers, whose previous Broadway credits and other musical works include All In, which was a Broadway show built around 69 love songs by the Magnetic Fields, as well as the disco musical Here Lies Love from David Byrne and Fatboy Slim. So, I guess we'll have to wait for who all else is in on this as, the musical develops further and further. Hopefully they get another brilliant mind of our time to play Weird Al. We already had Daniel Radcliffe, so who else could it be? So, yeah, we'll see how that works out when we get there. Now, moving on from Weird Al to something that is not weird, or Al.
Fuck.
Though at a glance it might look like it has similar letters.
Yeah.
I apologize for actually tainting the memory of Weird Al with that association.
Yep, and it's a certain topic that we all discuss, a certain hashtag that we do. What was it again, Rob?
Hashtag Daniel Ek is HO'd.
Correct. Yeah. It's about Spotify again.
Yeah. So, recently it has come to light that Spotify has inked a licensing deal with Universal Music Group that will allow its user base to prompt and create AI-generated remix of and covers of songs on their service. This being a paid add-on for premium subscribers, And while artists will be able to opt out of the program, those who do will collect, those who allow participation will collect royalties on these AI remixes.
Yes, on one hand, this is terrible. On the other hand, this is terrible, but it's very much a rent is due kind of move, because the day this was announced, the stock for Spotify went up significantly by about, let me see if I can do math in my head, around 15 to 20% between the announcement on Thursday and closing bell on Friday. So, yeah, people are still falling for this. And also, this is terrible in every single way. Just, it's just gross. Have you not heard the boos from college graduates over these AI shills trying to, you know, strong-arm all these people and saying, don't boo me! This is the future! You're just too stupid to realize it! Everyone's going, boo! Including that fucker from Big Machine Records, of all people.
Oh, more! More!
So, they didn't say any specificities. No actual details of how it'll work, when it'll launch, how much it'll cost. They just basically just threw a bunch of red meat in a metric and say, hey, look at this, we're doing this now, give us money, please. And people keep falling for it.
We must make the line go up at all costs.
Now,
we say.
Now, this is UMG, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking, what about certain artists say, maybe I can get in this deal, but then again, I forgot they're actually saying fuck you to them, but then again, they might have made, then again, I would be surprised if this certain artist would do this shit, I mean, they did before.
This certain artist happen to have massive amounts of debts that they would desperately love to pay off? Because if so, they'll take any money they can get. They don't have standards.
Yeah. It would be just too fishy, wouldn't it?
Oh my god, I am so sick of this fucking
thing. Also, to all of you tech illiterate youngsters out there, if you want to make a cover of a song, do it the way we used to do. A crappy webcam, a guitar, a cheap amplifier, and just play.
Unregistered Hypercam 2 is your friend, children.
Indeed.
Or I don't get some bootleg DJ software and just fuck with it. I don't know. Make your own remix song.
Fruity Loops is also your friend, children.
I think one time I just did a drum bass version of "This Is It" by Luchini. Camp Low, but again, that was back then where I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, and I still don't.
None of us knew what we were doing back then. It was the Wild West of the internet. There were no tutorials. Yeah. It was all just stupid ambition.
And I mean, to be fair, you probably know more than someone whose knowledge of remixes starts and ends at ChatGPT, make me a remix.
Ugh. I fear for the youth. They don't know how to fix an iPod.
The best time to cancel your Spotify account was probably about a decade ago. The second best time is now.
Yeah.
And one more thing. Please let there be a college graduation speech where Daniel Ek is giving the commencement. If there was ever one person I needed to see get booed by a bunch of 20-somethings, it would be Daniel Ek.
Yeah.
It would feed my soul and make the nightmares of modern reality slightly more bearable. Anyway, moving on to the last bit of news here. And this is just plain weird. I would like to just kind of quote the Pitchfork piece we're citing from here. The first teaser trailer for Live Nation's Rolling Loud movie is here. If this is the first you're hearing of a Rolling Loud movie, and that's basically about where I was like, yeah, what the fuck do you mean they're making a movie about Rolling Loud? Okay? Sure? Are we running out of screenplay pitches? I mean, I'm pretty sure there's, you know, plenty that you could start funding, but for some reason you just won't. Oh my. Okay. Let me get back on track here for a second. Let me get focused in the zone, recovering from the shock. So, yeah. On October 2nd, Rolling Loud the movie will be playing in theaters. In the words of Walden Green at Pitchfork, through some act of God or Live Nation machinations. That about sounds right. And apparently Owen Wilson is starring in the movie. The promotional copy, again, the article even specifies this is a direct quote. Owen Wilson stars in it as, quote, a by-the-book dad trying way too hard to be a cool dad, who apparently loses track of his son at the annual hip-hop festival. And apparently the cast for this movie, as you can imagine, has a bunch of, you know, big-name rappers. Fucking Travis Scott appears as himself. And others, you know, others said to appear in the movie include the likes of Sexy Red, Ty Dolla $ign, and even Ski Mask the Slump God, alongside comedian Matt Rife, and the Fonz himself, Henry Winkler. Henry Winkler, Owen Wilson, Travis Scott, Sexy Red in a Rolling Loud movie. Did I have a stroke? I'm just okay. Saying words at this point.
So, okay, looking at more info, of course you know Live Nation is producing this movie. And distributing this movie is Catch Up Entertainment. You know, the same people who distribute who distribute the Looney Tunes
The Day the Earth Blew Up.
Yeah.
And they have Coyote versus Acme.
I was gonna say this. See them instead. Or at least see County Acme instead.
Yes, please. Please do. Also, this is coming to us from an individual named Jeremy Gerlich, who is not just a producer, but also the writer and the director. And if you're wondering what he's done, he did rewrites for The Hangover. He did some Netflix things and some Adam Sandler things, and...
Okay, yep. Yep, I see. Recently he did something called The Pizza Movie.
Yeah, he's done some Hulu things as well.
Yeah.
What does that... The pizza... What does that even mean?
Who knows at this point? Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. This also feels like a rent is due kind of move from Live Nation, which... that lawsuit's not getting any easier, is it, fellas? Nope. They're getting breathed down their neck harder than ever.
Yeah, I remember seeing a clip that was going around that a lot of my metalhead friends on Facebook and Instagram were sharing. I don't remember the name of the person, but they own a venue called Crowbar in Ybor City, Florida, I believe. And they had, gone to Washington, I believe, to, or at the very least, they were participating in testimonies on behalf of, you know, their venues and telling Live Nation to go eat shit, but, you know, in professional legal terms. I was like, I like this guy. I'm rooting for this guy. But, yeah, I'm... Okay, I could maybe get Live Nation, but, like, does Ketchup Entertainment also have rent due? Like, if I may paraphrase just a random quote from the old days of Spill.com, they did the Looney Tunes movies for street cred, and they did this to pay off their mortgage.
I mean, maybe Live Nation couldn't find anybody else to handle this movie. You never know.
Yeah. Fuck no.
I don't know, maybe they needed to bail someone out of jail, and the only way they could get the money is, like, doing this. Like, for the love of God, release the Rolling Loud movie. I can't survive it here another day.
Look, pick up somebody. A24, fuck no. Neon, hell no. Annapurna? No, not really. What about your brother? No, not that one.
Also, if I had a nickel for every movie coming out this year that had Travis Scott in it, I'd have two nickels. Which is honestly two nickels too many, because, like, why does Travis Scott need to be in The Odyssey?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Wait, like, he's on screen? I thought he just had music in it.
He is credited as a cast member in this movie, along with, yeah, like, 75 other people.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan, I do not understand your interest in Travis Scott.
I will say this. Y'all are bitching about the Peter Yongo being in Hell of Troy. Get over it.
Speaking of discourse.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I guess see what else all comes out of this Rolling Loud movie. And in the meantime, we are done with the news as well. That just leaves one last thing to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 29th, 2026. Starting right up at the top, we have a new album from Shinedown called 8. And it does in fact use an 8 in place of a G. From the band Elder, we finally have their new album Through Zero. From Boards of Canada, we have their first new album in like 13 years with Inferno. From Keanu Reeves' band Dogstar, we have the album All In Now. From Lotto, we have the album Big Mama. Funnily enough, we have a new release from Anderson .Paak, that being the soundtrack to his upcoming film K-Pops.
Oh yeah.
From Willie Nelson, we have his 79th studio album, Dream Chaser.
Damn.
Speaking of musical elders, we have a new album from Paul McCartney called The Boys of Dungeon Lane. And finally, last, definitely not least, the most important album of the year, possibly of the decade even, we have Devin Townsend with The Moth.
Finally, legitimate penis music. Because, yeah, this is the musical about the penis, by the way.
Yes.
Okay.
Long story, don't have time to explain.
I will say one thing. When Gooseworks said that Kane from Digital Circus listens to penis and penis-adjacent music, I guess we finally know what that means. But now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, you all know where to find him. His stuff is in the description. Just look at it there. Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on Blue Sky and Metal Media. And there's my site, hyper1.com. And of course, the recent thing I talked about was, you know, Gameverse. So there you go.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes usually come out every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. And of course, the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to find the link to the Discord group there as well, so you can chat about anything from music to shows and movies to food, even. Something, something, Dirty Dr. Peppers. And that'll, of course, do it for this week. Hopefully, we'll be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And maybe something a bit more balanced, as it were. You know, you
take
1 week off, and then all of a sudden, things get lopsided. But it was fun to actually have tons of stuff to talk about, so who knows. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm going to go look at videos of pangolins. Why, you may ask? Because they're adorable, that's why.